This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, Texans and Colts Sunday. We'll see how wild the horsies are as they try to keep their season afloat. Texans trying to clinch the AFC South. Our beat guy segment for the week, we welcome Stephen Holder, who's covered the Colts for some time after prior stops. Now covering the Colts for The Athletic, which, well, I have no skin in the game, but it's well worth a subscription if interested, especially one of their promo offers for the first year. Steven, it's Charlie in Houston. Appreciate the time and insight to come. And let me start with this. What the heck happened last Sunday, right? After scoring a minimum of 27 points, five games in a row, Andrew Luck playing fantastic football, never getting touched, unsacked five games in a row, and then they get shut out. I mean, had they lost to Jacksonville, but zero?
Yeah, that was inexplicable. That's the only word I can come up with. They were not only just hot offensively, they certainly had this spectacular pass protection. Andrew Luck was in an unprecedented run, or on an unprecedented run, I believe, with seven games of three touchdown passes or more, and a couple games with four during that stretch. I mean, it's incredible the stretch that they were on, the run that they were on. And to go from that to what they did last week, completely inexplicable. However, there were a couple of things at work there, and I want to see how they bounce back. A couple things. Number one, they're missing Ryan Kelly, their center. He's played at a Pro Bowl level this year, and I think that had some that disrupted sort of the recognition of blitzes and things like that, and so the pass protection suffered. And certainly the loss of Jack Doyle to a season-ending injury, had a kidney laceration a couple weeks ago. That really impacted them. And it's not – now, everybody's got injuries, including the Texans. The problem is that Jack Doyle's ability to really contribute in the pass and running game, it gives Frank Reich just all kinds of flexibility with his play calling. And he was trying to adapt to that and didn't do a great job. And the receivers didn't do a good job as well of picking up that slack. They weren't getting off that man-to-man coverage. So a few things that work. And the other thing I'd say is that Frank Reich now, he had a little bit of novelty, right, to his offense early in the season. And seeing opponents for the second time now, he's got to step it up too. I thought he got out-coached in a couple of instances last week. So maybe it's a one-off, but I think we'll see. I expect the Colts to show up on Sunday. I'm not predicting a win, but I definitely expect them to show up.
Hey, Steve, before I get to more items specific to this Sunday, now that there's been some distance, a couple of months, how did it settle there up there in the sentiment of Reich basically giving away a tie? You know, being 6-5-1 right now would be a much better spot in the playoff race than 6-6.
Yeah, I'd say it's split in terms of the sentiment. I think people understand why he did it. And, you know, if you think about it, they were – at the time, they were struggling. They didn't really have a whole lot. They hadn't really gotten rolling at that point, same as Houston. But I think it was a young team and a young head coach in terms of his tenure, I think trying to set a tone to some extent. And there is value in that. Now, look, it'd be great to make the playoffs, right? I mean, but the Colts really, that's not what this season was ever about. They were trying to set a culture, trying to sort of, you know, cultivate something, right? Figure out who they were, set an identity, all these things. And I think those things are important. And so that was part of it. And his players, I'm telling you, they backed him 100%. You don't always get that. Sometimes players kind of give you these wishy-washy answers like, whatever the coach calls, fine with me. No, that's not what we got. What we got was, man, we got to do our part, but it's so good to have a coach that has confidence in us, and we're never going to let him down again. You know, those are the kinds of responses you've got. So I think there was value in it. But in terms of the response, as you said, I think it's been split. And I think there are people who have second-guessed Frank Reich. I mean, he was second-guessed last week about some fourth-down decisions. He's going to be an aggressive coach. That's clear. And the one thing I can say is he is consistent, and you never – have to wonder where he stands. He's going to be the same guy all the time.
Talk with Stephen Holder of The Athletic, Texans and Colts Sunday. So you alluded to Jack Doyle. The other three Colts tight ends are all on the injured list. None practiced yesterday. Eric Ebron's been a touchdown scoring machine. You alluded to Ryan Kelly. Is he iffy or out for Sunday? T.Y. Hilton hasn't practiced this week. You know he salivates at the prospect of facing the Texans. What bodies are going to be there?
Well, yeah, they were really beat up earlier in the season. They got healthy, and that had a lot to do with the run that they were on. So now things are going the other way at just the wrong time. Look, I don't expect Ryan Kelly to be back for this game. And Eric Ebron, I think it's going to go down to the wire. I saw him yesterday, and he was really under the weather. I think this is more about his illness than the actual injury he's dealing with. So he's just got to get his health back, and really his health, not his body necessarily. He's just pretty sick, and I think he went home early yesterday. So that's never a good sign. So we'll see where Ebron is at today, this afternoon, for practice. As it relates to T.Y. Hilton, I think T.Y. will play, not because I know anything specific about this particular injury, but I know T.Y., and T.Y.'s tough. As small as he is, he's a tough guy. He doesn't miss a lot of time. He misses practice at times, but he doesn't, or he shows up on Sunday. And he told me earlier this week, he said, well, he says, I'll be there. He says, you know, I've had a couple games against the Texans, if you know what I mean. And I said, I think I do know what you mean. So we'll see. I think T.Y. will play.
Colts defense has been an issue for years. The new regime aggressively attacked it with some high draft port choices. Darius Leonard early in the year was a revelation. Do you think they have a nucleus now to try to build a well-rounded team again?
I really do. There has been a lot of growth on defense since you last saw the Colts in that first meeting. And I think at that time, they were still trying to figure out their best lineups. They had some injuries. You know, they didn't necessarily know who fit where at that time. But since then, they have figured some things out. And I think this is a team that's trending in the right direction on defense. They have a young group of guys who are playing fast. And that's really the key to this game. You've got to get to the ball, multiple tacklers to the ball. They're making plays. And I think you'll see a little bit different Colts defense on Sunday versus the one you saw in the first game. Doesn't mean they're going to be able to stop what Houston's doing right now offensively, which is really impressive. But I do think they'll make it tough on them, and they'll have to sort of win some tough situations and some tough downs to make plays against that defense. So we'll see. The secondary it's gotten better, and I think that was one of the issues earlier in the season. They still don't really have a lot of household names back there. Malik Hooker is the free safety. He's their first rounder last year. But outside of that, it's just really a collection of guys that aren't household names. But they're starting to play the scheme as intended. And so the plays are starting to come a little bit more on the back end. And up front, they've got a by-committee approach that's working for them. And they're getting a pass rush now, which was not the case earlier in the season.
Well, the Colts were 1-5, then ripped off the 5 in a row before that pterodactyl-sized egg lay in Jacksonville, offensively anyway. They're modest underdogs down here Sunday, then home for the Cowboys, home for the Giants, and then at the Titans. Any plausibility to them winning out other than anything is possible? A 3-1 to be 9-7, and you hope the right tiebreakers fall your way at the Colts, or you think they're probably going 8-8?
Yeah, I mean, frankly, for them to get in the playoffs, I mean, just considering the amount of competition there is and the odds that someone else might do it, they have to win out. It's kind of my mindset, and I think that's there too. So I think they probably slip up somewhere along the way. I think it's hard to see them going 4-0. But are they capable? They're capable, yeah. I mean, can they go to Houston and win? Of course. I mean, I think we know they can. But they've got to bounce back in a major way, and they've got to be able to stop that Houston offense. I think they can make some plays against the Houston secondary. They've always done that. But can they protect, especially if Ryan Kelly doesn't play? He's such a key part of the recognition up front that's going to be a huge blow for them. So this is the game that I think is the toughest. They get Dallas at home, so that helps. They have a great history against Tennessee. So I like them in that game. But this is the big one, and we'll just have to see what they're made of.
I always like to get an insider's outsider perspective. On the Texans, a 9-game winning streak. Now, they've beaten none of the top-tier teams. You play the course. This has been their schedule. It's certainly been favorable this year. But 9 in a row is stout. Where do you think the Texans' true quality is on the AFC totem pole?
Well, I mean, every time you think maybe you're overestimating them, they come back and they win another one. So I will tell you this. People in Indianapolis at this point have an absolute respect for the Texans. And from afar, people here are looking at Houston like, man, we are going to have some tough slogging ahead in the years to come against this team. And I think the prospect of Deshaun Watson doing this for the next 10 years scares the hell out of people, I'm telling you. And it should. So they've always had playmaking ability on the defensive side, and they've even had it on the perimeter in offense. But now Deshaun has just changed the game completely, and I just think when you've got that kind of player in your with the ball in his hands on every down, you can win any game. That's the difference here. Are they the best team in the AFC top to bottom? No, probably not, but they can compete with anybody because they have a guy who can make plays like a few others in the league. So that's really the game changer. That's what this league is right now. We're seeing it in Kansas City and places like L.A. with both teams in L.A. You know, so I mean, it's about playmaking, and they've got one of the best playmakers. So yeah, they have the Colts' attention, I assure you.
To wrap it up, so head blended with gut. What do you think happens here Sunday?
I think the Colts are going to be really challenged right now, given the injuries, those two key injuries, and are they going to be able to run the ball, too? They need some balance. They got to get some balance back. I just think they're up against it right now. Houston's rolling. They're at home. They got a lot going for them. I'm going with Houston, but I think this is going to be a tough game.
Stephen Holder on the Colts beat for The Athletic. If you want to read the rest of his material, go have at it. Stephen, much appreciate the time and insight. Safe travels. We'll see you on Sunday.
All right, looking forward to it.
We need to get our break in, finish off the first hour, and then into hour number two. We're about 12:30. We'll pop Richard Justice on, priming the pump for the winter meetings where Jeff Luhnow has to be going, thinking, all right, it's my time to make a move of note. The Yankees have. The Red Sox have. Kind of the Astros' turn, especially since the Yankees quite likely aren't done. Red Sox keeping Eovaldi, other than Craig Kimbrell, his status. I think the Red Sox have reason to think we come back intact. They already re-signed Steven Pierce. They were clearly the best team last year. 11:46 on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
There's no going back. She's a beast. I call her karma. She eats your heart out like Jeffrey Dahmer.